This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
Cast 16. I'm with Kelly Nelson and Johnny Sorrow. Kelly, how you doing, man?
I'm doing tremendous, man.
Johnny, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great.
Man, in episode 16 here, we're going to be covering World Class Championship Wrestling, episode number 24, June 5th, 1982. And, you know, I was just thinking, guys, I'm going to an indie show in Fort Worth in 2 weeks. And I'm thinking to myself, man, if I was just older, I could have been from Austin, I could be hopping on the train, going to see the Von Erichs on the weekend, or taking the bus down to Houston and watching Paul Boss wrestling at Sam Houston Coliseum. I'm almost sad now that I've just missed those glory periods of wrestling, which I loved. I mean, I saw a lot of live Houston, but I mean, now as an adult living by myself, I can go whenever I can just follow the id factor and go to it. I mean, it's just mind blowing to me how awesome the territories were where we could go there and just see super shows, you know?
Yeah. But you got to factor into that though. Look at the improvements in comfort in travel.
True.
since on the Greyhound bus or what have you in those days. That's a harder. You'd be on the road like the wrestlers are. This is the highways.
See, that's probably why yet. I take the train as much as I can. I love the train.
Train? Yeah, there you go. Well, in Texas, you might get robbed in a train. That's why I've seen all those movies, right? That's dangerous.
Jesus Christ. Well, all right.
I would have been trapped out in Vancouver in the 80s, and it ooh, sucks.
There you go.
It sucked back then, just like it kind of sucks now for access to wrestling. It's pretty sparse.
And once again...
In Canada, I mean, you get all your documentaries about the freaking... What's that one documentary where they ride in the van across the ice?
I don't know.
is that the one
with Lance Storm and Edge talks about it.
Okay. Right. Oh yeah, because in Manitoba when they did the death tours or whatever.
Yeah.
I've heard the story.
They had to wait until the lakes were frozen over so they could drive over them. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you guys have never seen those documentaries?
No.
I've seen guys talk about it a lot and listen to it.
Oh, it's insane. I don't know,
Northern Death Tour, yeah.
Yeah, there's the driving on ice. There's no one around.
Yeah.
They go into a town that maybe has 200 people. They're sleeping in the gymnasium.
Yeah, I've been to some of those towns, but in the summer, not in the wintertime. And it's pretty grim. Pretty good stuff in northern Manitoba.
And once again, to piss you guys off with these memories of where you were and what you could have done, I was in New Jersey. I could have gone to everything.
Right,
I just didn't. I didn't go to ECW until their final show at that arena. I finally got off my ass and did it.
But hey, let's get back to some world class here. And man, we open up with a Kim Duck promo, Johnny.
Oh boy!
I mean, this is what you've been waiting for your whole entire life.
It is. Well, again, the great promo is Hard Times. here's the thing about this. This is, again, if you I don't know why you would. If you listen to the show and don't watch the footage, you need to watch this, because I'm always been decent about when I get a promo. I think is amazing. I write it down. That was not possible with this at all. You got the gist of what Chunger was talking about. It starts off, the spoiler brought him over. I'm like, oh, we kind of like thought that's what the story was last time. And he kind of gets into, that's not how Asian people act. And then it just goes batshit nuts. I don't understand what the fuck he's saying. Nothing's make any sense. It's unbelievable. I'm not even going to say it's bad, because it's just, I've never heard anything like it in my life. It doesn't make any sense in either language, whether English or Korean. Just wow. And Mark Lorenz just is looking fascinated by the whole thing. It's crazy. You just got to watch it. It's indescribable.
And this is how the show started, Kelly. What are you thinking when this is happening?
Chunger Mania running wild and cutting promos. I was excited. He stumbled right out of the gate, and then he recovered a bit where he was making sense. And then at the end, he just stops talking, and there's an awkward silence there. Because the promo just ends, and Mark Lorenz was expecting him to say more, and then Lorenz finally is able to end the whole segment. But it was a train wreck.
Dude, all that needed was the line from Blazing Saddles after the Gabby Hayes guy does his little speech in the courthouse, and that makes no sense. And Howard Johnson gets up and goes, "Now who could argue with that?"
Totally. This could be a rare thing. This could be the only Chunger promo out there. I don't know.
Well,
like, I don't think Tiger Chung Lee was cutting a lot of promos on WWF TV. I could be wrong, but this is for all the Chunger fans out there. This is something to cherish.
Did he ever show up on that? What was that show that Parv loved?
TNT.
The stuff on the network.
TNT.
Yeah, do you ever show up on that?
I'm not aware of, but maybe.
Well, every promoter saw this thing and like learned their lesson. Only in Texas.
Yeah.
Well, he was so. No, we'll see. He's super over. Yeah. And they just said, "Can you?" Well, you know, they always said he fancied himself an actor.
That's right. Yeah, he did act.
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh yeah, did you ever hear the Chris Jericho story?
That's what I was talking about.
That is gold. That leads us to Wild Bill Irwin, Chauncey. Those chances are back versus Tom Boogaloo Shaq. Kelly, what was better, the chance or the match?
Well, I guess the chance. The chance are back in full force after kind of going away a little bit. Just Tom Shaft, we all know his story and how bad he is. Focused arm work though by Irwin, and to his credit, Shaft was selling the arm pretty well, and he actually, you know, because his right arm's hurt, he starts using his left hand for punches, you know, so there was that brief comeback by Shaft, but it was quickly cut off. And then we get Irwin's, you know, his awkward leap off the top rope that never seems to end well, or he never seems to land it right. Where this time it was like really stiff looking.
Yeah, it's good. Like the power bombing of Billy Kidman, it just doesn't work out well.
Yeah, well, he just never ends, or he never lands it the same way twice. Squash match. Shaft is totally a jobber now, basically.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a little bit more than you. I like the arm work, like you were saying. I like the selling. So for all that, I enjoy. But, man, my God, that was just so low rent. Shaft kicking out at four. It's like, dude, eat the finisher. Right. Do your job.
It's the worst.
Just so I think it's about as unprofessional as it gets. As the kick out barely after three, trying to make it about you and not, and when it's not anything about you.
Yeah, just low rent.
I literally have now, like, you know, whenever people are like, what wrestler do you hate? And I was, and people are like, I hate Triple H or whoever, you know. And I was, I can control yourself. It's a fucking actor, you know. You know, I fucking hate Tom Schneider. Next time one of those lists comes up, I'm like, I'll tell you who I hate. I hate everything about Tom. I wish he fell down an elevator shaft. Ugh. He's, I hate everything about him. Oh, he just did his butt offense. Mm.
Kelly, you feel the same way. You hate him too, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Ugh. And he's done the kick out at three numerous times.
Yeah, he's done that before.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. You know, you're right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like a problem.
This show starts with that promo, which at least I was like, whoa. And then I'm like, are you fucking really? I'm so over Wild Bill Irwin and Tom Shaft. I'm over him. I don't want to see him anymore. It's enough. I can't stand it anymore. The same fucking guys. And Tom, and I've been like, Wild Bill Irwin, I've said I like his work in other places, but this is too much. And in the middle of just despair, and I didn't give a fuck, you know, about this, Mark Lorenz saves the day and makes me laugh for a good 5 minutes. Because while this shitty fucking match is going on, he pauses and goes, well, it was interesting to hear Kim Duck speak. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And I laughed for a good 5 minutes. And he's, you know, that he's doing the Lord's work, getting you through this piece of shit. Ugh.
Now, we all agree we don't like Tom Shaft. I can say I've never been a Ray Candy fan. But I enjoyed the Zambui Express. Is it just his character you think it is, or
he stinks. He thinks he's fucking great. Obviously, he does the worst of the fucking stereotype black, you know, step in fetch it bullshit. You know that you know, some guys you look back and you can forgive some of that shit because they're doing it and. There's something to them, though. I mean, like, I'll give Bobo Brazil a pass and everything. Maybe it's because his name sounded vaguely Spanish and he was trying to work that angle. But, you know, I get it with guys like that who are like, well, this is my opportunity. I still got to do a little whatever. But, you know, I prefer the Ernie Ladds of wrestling myself. But when you're this awful and then that's your thing and your name is Tom Boogaloo Shaft, you know, just everything. I hate everything about this guy. I can't stand him.
Okay, now that question goes to you, Kelly. You've seen him as Ray Candy and part of the Zambui Express too. Did you hate him as that in those roles?
Well, I haven't seen him enough.
Oh, wait a minute. He was in the Zambui Express?
Yeah, he was Ray Candy.
Really?
Candy. I only remember Elijah. Was it Kareem Muhammad?
Well, he had a different gimmick name. Yeah.
Huh. Well, what, yeah, it's been so long. Yeah, I thought they were really big, big fat guys.
But Don Boogaloo Shaft, 6'2", 6'3", he's standing toe-to-toe with Wild Bill Irwin.
Hmm.
Well, now I hate the fucking Zambui Express. Thanks.
Yeah, I didn't quite think you understood my question. Cause you were
different
people.
I was thinking
I was calling him, comparing him to other black wrestlers.
I got to admit, that's what I thought. You were like, oh, these guys are black and they suck too. Why are you like that? And I'm like, well, they got a cool gimmick? I don't know. Fuck.
Yeah, I was trying to see if you hated them all across the board and all his gimmicks. That's what my point was.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood, but whatever. Now I don't like... Look, I'm never going back and watching Zambui Express matches, so I'll just say they suck, too.
All right, well, let's get back on topic.
I don't think they were the same guy, Pete. According to wrestling data, they're totally different people.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Ray Candy was one of the Zambui Express, but he wasn't Tom Shaft.
I think he was.
No, he wasn't.
According to your research...
Was he in wrestling relocation? the mobsters.
They're way. He's way younger than Tom Shaft, I think. Ray Candy. Anyway, okay. I don't know. That's what I got.
All right, that's fair enough.
You're really talking about Tom Shaft way too much for my liking.
Yeah, exactly. Look out! Look out!
The Candyman. Then we got Kim Duck and Ken Mantels' partner to represent the Asian Connection, I guess. Versus Kabuki and Dragon, we get two refs. What'd you make of this, Kelly?
I really liked this match. It was pretty hot. Like Johnny said, Duck, you know, he can't cut a promo, but he's definitely hot. The crowd loves him. This little angle has got over well with Duck going against the other Asians in like this, you know, crusade to improve the Asian name, because Kabuki and Dragon are dragging it down. Kabuki has a great freaky looking mask before this match with the long nose.
Dick?
Yeah.
His big giant dick mask.
Yeah.
All the ladies love the great Kabuki, brother.
So Duck was quickly tagged in. He uses a Cobra Clutch early on, but it's just like a regular move. It's not sold as being anything serious in Texas. I love the exchanges of chops and slaps between Duck and the Dragon. And yeah, Candyman, here we go. He's back, comes in, takes a beating. Then we get the goddamn Go Ken Go chant, which I've come to really just, it depresses me anytime that comes up. Why do you like Ken Mantell? Look out, look out, the Candyman. Anyway, Chunger ducks back in. Lots of chops between him and Kabuki. This turned out to be a pretty long match, and it broke down into a brawl, and the ref just lost control. Had no choice but to call a double DQ. And then we get kendo stick action. The spoiler, by the way, was at ringside for this match. He gets involved. Chunger has a friggin' what is it called? A sai? Is that what it is? That
ninja? No, Kabuki's got the fucking sai.
Oh, did I say Chunger? Sorry, I meant I meant Kabuki. Yeah, Kabuki has the sai.
I know.
Electra's weapon from Daredevil.
There's a deep cut.
Well, it's speaking of Daredevil, this was at the same time in the comics that Frank Miller had introduced all the ninja characters and Elektra, and World Class was kind of on the cutting edge here.
And Kelly's talking about the Elektra. You're talking about the Elektra, the uncool movie, not the cool stuff on Netflix, right?
Well, I mean the Elektra character in the Daredevil comic book. Around this time, 1982, was when these stories were coming out, and they were in comics. They were cutting edge. They were revolutionary, and using all these characters. It was cool to use ninjas and all this stuff. And in a way, World Class, while not cool yet, getting there, was kind of on the cutting edge in a bit. Like, I don't think too many other promotions were using like this.
Knives.
Danger, yeah. Well, that, but just like the dangerous Asian characters, like these ninja types that would slit your throat and stuff like that. Not the sneaky Japanese heel with the salt that had been played out by this time. So it was a little bit more progressive than Mr. Fuji and his ilk. A bit more in wrestling terms. I mean, comic books wrestling, they were both kind of trash culture at this time, of course. Trash culture.
This show is now the leading cause of vaginal dryness.
Yeah, no, I'm not expecting a ton of women to be listening to WorldCast, but you never know. You never know. Anyway, yeah, I like this match a lot. I give it 2.5 stars.
Wow. What about you, John?
I saw, you know what? I'm going to leave Mantel to Kelly. That's, we each have our own guy. but I'm going to talk, we have to talk about one thing you didn't mention. But first, you know, the dragon is the least threatening looking motherfucker. They said to me, the magic dragon, he's dangerous. Is he just, is he even Asian? He just looks like a doughy white kid, you know?
He's Asian.
Yeah, is he? I mean, yeah. He's
Asian. He'd use the Kabuki gimmick here and there when Kabuki was out.
Oh, God. Ugh. Oh, God. It just, there's nothing threatening about him, really.
Yeah, actually, a magic dragon, how he actually died was on a plane crash.
Yeah.
I think going to Japan to be the Kabuki character.
You know who was behind that? Kabuki, who just like, don't steal my identity. You know, he carries a knife.
He actually gave it to him with his blessing, but that's okay, good.
Well, then I'm sorry.
So I'm making up the Ray Candy story being Tom Boogaloo's shaft, and now you
believe you. I totally believe you. That's why I was like, okay, joke rescinded. Kim Duck's reasoning struck me as good business. By that I mean the whole, you know, this isn't how Asians are. We're good guys, and we're badass good guys, too, because he's a badass in this match. Fucking Kim Duck rules in this match. I'm like, where did they get the idea for this? I'm like, did someone at the Jesus Network complain, you know, about it? We need a positive Asian character, because, you know, we're on satellite. We're trying to spread the word all over the world. You know, can we please maybe have a... He's the suit from the Jesus Network who every now and then tells Fritz what they want. And it'd be a good idea. And did it seem to either of you when first Kim Duck and fucking Dragon are having a chop exchange and Dragon lays a few in on Kim Duck and Kim Duck just grabs him by the throat and throws him down on the fucking mat? Like, okay, what? And then when Kabuki comes in, he proceeds to go, okay, we'll do this. And they do. They slap the dog shit out of each other. And he tossed Dragon down like, listen, motherfucker. You know. And in fact, during the first initial chop exchange, which is fucking great, Mark Lorenz says this in this tone. He goes, these two are so good. I was like, you just know, he's like, he's sick of fucking Tom Shaft and Wild Bill Irwin and shit. You know, he's like, this is great. And yeah, hot finish. It's fucking EC Dub, man. There's chairs going and fucking, they got the wooden swords and nunchucks and shit. And then again, Kabuki, Kabuki's got a fucking knife. I couldn't think of Psy. He's got a fucking knife. That's crazy. And it was awesome. But we got Ken Mantell's selling faces. When he's selling, like in a nerve hold or something, are you looking at this guy? He's got the goofiest selling faces. And the people were cheering for him. They're fucking, like you said, Kelly, I have no idea why. But he's the worst. You know what he looks like? I'm really dating myself, but it's the only thing I can think of. He looks like if Sid Caesar was doing a sketch on your show of shows, playing a wrestler who's in pain and the agony. He looks ridiculous. He's terrible at that aspect. It's all I could look at. But the match was – I thought the match was hot. Mantell was pretty decent in the ring. He was decent enough. Thought Dragon kind of sucked. He turned it up a little. But anytime you had Kim Duck and Kabuki in the ring together, this fucking ruled.
Yeah. I like Maggie Dragon's like head scissors. I think those are pretty cool.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I will tell you, man, the crowd treats Kim Duck like he's Fritz's illegitimate Japanese Von Erich son.
Yeah.
He gets quite the reaction, and it's really interesting. It's like almost like you want to do a sociology study with this crowd and ask them why they're cheering Kim Duck so hard, because this is a redneck crowd. It's just so weird.
Okay, well, growing up when we grew up, and you're watching wrestling on the UHF stations. What else is on? Is fucking karate movies, and you like the villains are cool, but you know who else is fucking cool? Bruce Lee is fucking cool. You know, so what about a good guy who does all that shit and kicks some ass, man? That's, of course they dig it. It's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they did with Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that just occurred to me while I said that. But to be perfectly honest, I hated that with Ricky Steamboat. But I like this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, to Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, and NWA Classics On Demand Adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Then we get a Lothario interview, and I thought this was solid stuff, and he's interrupted by Irwin. So this is overall pretty fun. What were you making out of this, John?
Well, Mark Lorenz's intro to this, just he goes, when will us knuckles, you think of mobsters, you know, bone breakers, the mafia, and wrestlers like your hero here, Jose Lothario. I'm like, what the fuck was that intro? You just completely compared this to murderers. And then you're like, you're referring to Jose, and Jose has to cut a fired up baby face promo. And he's given a Jose promo. You know, it's never been his strength, but we've seen enough of him to know that.
When he's in his beauty, he can cut a fiery promo.
He can cut a mean, fiery promo. And he also, you never doubt what he's saying, just because you're like, maybe he's not the best speaker in the world, but I never doubt what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's that good.
Yeah, integrity.
Yeah, totally, totally. You see that face and the way he's like, oh, you're like, oh, you're not fucking with him. And then fucking here comes fucking Wild Bill Irwin again. And he's like, well, I'm trying to tell you something. And Jose just big times him. Just like, and big ties him. And then Irwin goes to cut a promo, and it's shitty. It's just a shitty promo. He sounds effeminate. For some reason, you pick up on that. Oh, by the way, just in case if you guys didn't know, you know, he still is no longer with Captain Frank Dusek. This is literally like the old Saturday Night Live bit where, you know, Chevy Chase would go, Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead. You know, it's all he's got. And I just went, wow, he stinks. It was like, to see someone stink this bad on a promo, just interrupt a great promo. And he just goes, fuck you. And then proceed to go, oh, yeah. And then shit the bed. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, he's really beat that. We're not partner. We're not together anymore over the head. I mean, over the head. Where, I mean, Helen Keller, I think, gets it at this point.
Man, she's dead.
What about you, Kelly? What are you making this whole entire scenario?
Well, Lothario's billed as the Mexican brass knuckles champion. And I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think that it was an actual title.
No.
Some racist cocksuckers.
Irwin and Dusek. Yeah, this is like the slowest burning feud in the history of wrestling. Where he just keeps saying, you know, we're not together. We're not wrestling. We're not feuding. But, you know.
Don't you really kind of now get the impression that Dusek broke up with him? I mean,
I just don't get, are they ever going to actually feud? Are they actually going to wrestle? And you know, why do they have to keep mentioning this? It's been months. It's weird.
I think Dusek needs to get a restraining order.
Yeah, and Dusek never has a response. I don't think. Doesn't seem to care. It's so strange.
Yeah, it's like he's like Dusek's the scorned lover. Or Irwin's
the scorned lover.
Yeah.
And Dusek's already gone on to something else.
He's literally the one, exactly, Pete, the scorned lover. Because all he's basically saying is, I don't need you. I don't need you at all. Well, yeah. Okay, fine.
So strange.
But this leads us into the match, Kelly, of Lothario Dusek, man. What are you making of this?
I thought this was a good match as well. Solid work with Jose, of course. We had a lot of struggle over holds this whole match. So that was interesting. And yeah, I mean, Dusek couldn't get an advantage at all. So he had to keep cheating to get any advantage. Like, you know, he couldn't get it fairly. He couldn't, out wrestle Jose. And then at the end, we get a suplex by Jose that ends up with both men falling over the top rope. To the outside, nice little bump, and then we get a brawl on the outside, and both are counted out. And yeah, I thought this was a really, you know, decent match. Nothing wrong with
it. A finish you kind of want to see, that makes you want to see more.
Yeah.
I loved it. I mean, I really enjoyed it. It was like a pair of old pros just showing you how to work, both guys knowing they can work. I mean, that jab with Lothario right off the bat was just nasty.
Yeah,
I love the running hammerlock spot was really fun. Dusek is great at eating all of Lothario's punches. Just fantastic stuff, but they really gelled well, and it really feels like they could have a really good undercard feud in the company if the company really wanted to get behind it. And you know, Lothario, he's even past his prime, he's still showing. That, you know, he can still work a match around his punches and his timing and his intensity, which I think is really cool if he has the right game opponent. What you make of this, John?
Okay, so just to start, this is one of the episodes where they couldn't fix a few things in the audio. So there's a few dips there. I mean, it just happens very quickly here. There's something funnier later. But just happened quickly here, and suddenly, like, Mark Lorenz sounds like someone slipped him a Mickey. You know, and it gets out. And then there's – did you guys see the chick in the audience? She's in a young in a black T-shirt, and the camera catches her. She catches the camera, and she shouts something – and I rewound it twice And I don't have any idea what it was, but it sounded like Klingon. And she then gave like a black power salute. Like she's a Klingon warrior. I was like, me love this talk or something. I'm like, what the fuck was that?
I think it was maybe the size of the joint that you're smoking at the time that made
it. No, dude. She, I mean, obviously it's not Klingon. I'm just like, I couldn't make out what she said. And it sounded like Klingon. And she was like, gave a power fist. And I was like, okay.
I don't speak Klingon. So
neither do I. What, I'm not a geek. Oh, hey, listen, you guys are just talking about fucking comic books. Now I'm the geek. Okay. Fuck yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Fucking Klingon. Great. Do you put that on your job resumes?
I don't know how to read. I can recognize Klingon. Okay. I don't understand Klingon. Okay, I know so something you didn't know sounds what
she
like.
Said. Okay.
No, I have no idea what she fucking said.
So she could have been saying "Go, Jose" in Klingon.
Johnny knows enough Klingon to ask where the washroom is, and
not just that. You know, that's all really. I have a basic understanding of Klingon. I mean, if I was ever, you know,
Klingon. Hey, where are the hookers located?
Oh well, yeah, that's it. You know where I get where do I get the dilithium blow? You know. By the way, this isn't actually a fantasy. This is at conventions. You know, the dealers there are really weird. You have to follow their rules to get the whores and the coke.
Replicator.
Where's the replicator? That would be great. I don't need drug dealers. I have a replicator. Anyway, so I got as uninvolved in this. I recognized I was watching a good match, but I had like a million things going on. And I'm just like looking away. And I finally got like, okay, dog here, this, that, you know, and look back. It was always, this happens to me all the time. I look back just in time to see Jose fucking Lothario give that fucking uppercut to Frank Dusik in the corner, and the camera was right there, and just jack his fucking jaw. And Dusik sells it like his chin collapses. Like, it was just the perfect thing to come back and look. And from that point on in the match, I was invested, and it was like the end of the match, and it was awesome. You know, basically it's his Hulk up thing. Like he finally hits the super sock. Like I did catch earlier in the match, the first time he goes for a punch, the camera picks up 2-6 telling the referee, he goes, hey, you know, he's trying to knock me out with that punch. I know what he's up to. Yeah. I was like, that was cool. You know, but I will never get to it. At PWO, there's this thread that is like, best and worst strikes. I was like, strikes. Okay. You're like, oh, okay.
I hate that strikes. Term too.
I hate it. But nevertheless, I went in there to say something about Jose, and then I thought, wait a minute, it's three pages long. Let me check, and nothing. And I was like, well. So then I just posted. So I had to. I was like, normally I wouldn't get involved. But I'd be like, Jose, like something like Jose Lothario, motherfucker. And, you know, how could you not? Because I will never get tired. It's probably my favorite thing from the Houston footage. I never get tired of seeing Jose Lothario punch motherfuckers in the face. It's great.
Oh, man.
It's great. That's it.
Okay, cool. And that leads us into the main event, man. Kevin Von Erich, first time wearing no boots. So that's huge. Huge in the footage. Facing King Kong Bundy, man. What'd you make of this, Kelly?
Yeah, that's my first note. It's a historical moment here with Kevin going without boots for the first time. Yeah, where were you when that happened? And... Anyway, super hot crowd here. So this has been simmering for a few weeks with Kevin and Bundy. So this is a big main event, actually. Audio difficulties, as Johnny mentioned, throughout this match, actually. And they were giving you the warning, of course, on the screen, which is very considerate of WWE. And Bundy
for these fucking millennials, you know, those old motherfuckers, although, you know, how many fucking tapes did we fucking have? Like, you know.
Yeah. How about the footage we watched for Titans? A lot of it was that Spectrum 10th generation dubs where you could barely make out what the hell was going on sometimes. So Bundy kept cutting off Kevin. Kevin sold quite a bit for Bundy. Actually, I thought more than he sold for anybody so far.
Yeah, is it a coincidence because he's a Von Erich, or do you think he's so stiff?
Well, I mean, that was Kevin's rep. You know, he was stiff. I've compared him to Backlund, always struggling, never giving his opponent much. But here, they totally played it like a David Goliath situation where Kevin really didn't have much of a chance against him. And then out of nowhere, yeah, flying body press. Not the most graceful one, mind you, but a flying body press by Kevin to grab a surprise out of nowhere pin on Bundy. Huge pop. I thought it was very interesting that they have Bundy lose clean on TV right before the Texas Stadium show. Maybe that's why attendance was so low. No, I don't know. But it is kind of strange because Bundy had been protected. Bundy hadn't lost, I don't think, on TV that we'd seen. You know, he was strong. He was the top heel. And anyway.
Okay. Something just occurred to me because I thought the same thing. Pete, I'm sure you thought the exact same thing. It just occurred to me. It was just like, remember, because we mentioned it a lot in the previous show about, like, what the fuck kind of booking is this that we mentioned that Kevin losing so he can his old man can win and that right. Shit, you know. And I picture Kevin just going in there, getting, you know, behind the barn with the other brothers, and no man, I'm gonna tell him what I feel. And gets in there and goes, listen, old man, you want me to keep doing this shit? I'm gonna do it barefoot. I'm gonna beat King Kong motherfucking Bunny on TV, and that's what's gonna fucking happen. And, oh, okay. We already sold the tickets, but whatever, you know, because I was like, wow, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, sorry. I thought they would have saved that. Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know what to think, really. It's just, it's not how I would have booked it.
I would have booked a finish where they're all beating up on Kevin and with a DQ, and then you have Fritz coming in for the save, and then he gets beaten down, and you go home. With heat on the baby faces, but that's just me. Yeah. But
well, at least that would involve it would involve Fritz getting beaten up. I'm kind of sick of seeing Kevin getting beaten up. I was happy, you know, whatever the reason why. I'm sick. I've told you guys a bunch of Kevin's my favorite Von Erich. I love watching Kevin wrestle, and so I said, hey, he won finally because he's the TV workhorse right now.
Yeah. I agree. You know, that's funny. I mean, Kerry's getting the push and is the blue chipper, but who's delivered in ring on TV has been Kevin.
Every week, Kevin's out there having really great matches with good opponents or somewhat entertaining matches with the limited opponents. Kevin's the one out there working. So, yeah.
I mean, Kerry's had a couple, but Kevin's Kerry's really
been
the fun, one.
But he's not been on television.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I thought he had that real fun one with Black Gordman on TV. But it pales in comparison to what Kevin's done. Kevin's been real more consistent.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that thing with Kabuki was a masterpiece. It was just a great episodic, combined with the booking. But, yeah, I'm with you. Kevin has been the workhorse in on TV and... But I mean, clearly, Kerry's still he's the chosen one. What did you make of the match, John?
It was awesome. That's fine. I think we just talked about. I thought you guys hit all the right points, and I think maybe this is one of those. If it's stiff, it's like, well, let's give it. You know, if Bundy's given as good as he gets, you know, and Kevin's doing the same, sometimes that can be an entertaining fucking match. This was an entertaining match. It was great. But those are the only things I'm going to mention before I wrap up. As far as the barefoot stuff, Lorenz goes, well, we talked to Kevin about why. And, you know, he said, well, I was born barefooted and I was raised barefooted. So why didn't I do it barefooted? And so I'll try to sound all folksy and shit. I'm like, number one, I doubt Kevin said that. But okay, let's just go with this. You're like, well, you know, I was raised barefooted. Well, I know they weren't poor. Was this some weird Fritz punishment? You know, taking off your shoes, boy. You know, and you break the rules again. Oh, And I spent my, I was always breaking the rules as a kid, so I was barefooted all the time. And fucking Manning, I didn't want to mention before, fucking Manning. Hussein is distracting him, okay? But Kevin gets in the sneak attack, and Manning yells at Hussein and says, he's like, stop distracting me from the wrestlers, and doesn't say anything to Kevin. I was like, oh, fuck you. Oh, he's the worst. I don't get into more about him. This time with the audio dips, it sounds like when people would play Stairway to Heaven backwards, trying to hear devil messages, like for a while. Just a great match. After it ends, David Manning, this is great. Fucking Hussein is yelling at David Manning over the decision. And he goes, you are a racist. You are prejudiced against me. And Manning goes, that's it. You're fined $500. And walks away. I was like, oh, fucking Manning. He's, you know, don't you know this man's a millionaire? You know, what's $500 to him, you redneck piece of shit? But the match was so good. Not as good as Kabuki Kevin by any stretch, but I liked this a lot.
Yeah, I liked it for... I like Kevin really doing the go action, really like pushing the action, only to get cut off by Bundy and his size. And I like Kevin underneath fighting and struggling, and Bundy trying to find ways to keep him down. So I really like the struggle and then the battle and really everything about it. And then we get that Kevin promo to end the show. Do you remember anything about it, John?
I got my pen ready, and it was pretty much over real quick. He just sort of got in a couple words.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for him to say, you know, because, you know, Kevin, you know, because Lawrence was kind of going on like, look at Kevin Von Erich tonight. And I just waited for him to come over. He's like, it was the bare feet, motherfucker. That's what it is. He found it, and he just beat King Kong Bundy. And
yeah, it adds a little bit to his charisma. I ain't going to lie. What about you, Kelly? Anything on the promo? Anything?
No, I completely forgot there was one. So
very well. And that's a Kevin Von Erich promo for you.
It was literally 10 seconds long.
You're right.
There was nothing to it.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, man, we'll head on out of here. Thanks for listening, folks. Johnny, anything you want to plug?
No, I'm just getting my one last thing. Mark Lorenz once again ends this program. He said it before, if he's trying to make this his catchphrase, there's no wonder we're not going to see much of him anymore in this position, because he goes, oh, it never lets up, does it? I was like, that's the worst catchphrase ever, ever. Yeah, you know what? It doesn't let up because, you know, you're not going to be the announcer next time.
Kelly, anything you got to plug, brother?
No. I'm just doing WorldCast these days, man.
All right, man. Catch me on Ted Titusville Wrestling and follow me at listen to me on This Week in Wrestling, Indies and International with my buddy Timothy. On that note, have a great week. Remember, WorldCast Wednesdays, babies. Have a great one. Laters.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone the moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on and on, and I could waltz across Texas with you, waltz across Texas with you. Texas with you, like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.